Well, hey, good morning. Wanted to say that God has done wonderful things this year at Hope Church. And those presents, a bunch of guys went to Puente Morales and we helped build a bar into a church. And we were able to give them 390-some presents to little kids who maybe wouldn't even have a Christmas present. And you can clap. That's like huge. And here's how that happened. I mean, you know at Hope Church, we don't beg for money. We don't do that. We had somebody who said, hey, I've got these appreciated stocks. I don't really want to pay a broker. I don't want to pay the capital gains. Can we just donate them to the church? I'm like, well, no, that hurts our feelings when you do that. And what a gift that God has placed in your hearts that you don't just go here, but you're part of here. And this has been just a wonderful year at Hope Church. And I just want to thank you for your giving. And I think today's kind of the last day that someone can write that $3 million check.
You can give it today if you want.
Yeah, and I don't ever take the money, but Pastor Kevin sure will.
I'm available right after.
So, but you got to get it in today, and no problem. So, gosh, tomorrow is 2024, last day of 2023, and we look forward to next year. And this morning, we're going to keep it very simple. We're going to talk about it's as easy as A, B, C. Come on now. I thought about moonwalking.
Let's do it. Come on.
I need a glove. If someone has a glove, I can put on my hand, I'll moonwalk. Hopefully nobody does. And those of you who are younger, you may not even understand that that's just good old music. So ABCs, first one is this, A, attitude. You want to have a great 2024. I've read statistics that this next year, even this past year, you literally are able to control 10% of what happens in your life. So 90% of what happens to you, you can't control. But you can perhaps control 100% of how you respond to what happens. I mean, you can get up in the morning and say, oh, good morning, Lord. Or you can get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. And I can promise you this year, if you focus on your attitude, you're going to have a great year. And Paul writes this, and it's just a good reminder for us. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. In other words, we can actually have God's help. And much of the battlefield is, Perry, you're sitting too far back. I've never seen that. Is Hannah next to you? Hannah, I've never seen you so far back. But I'm going to have a good attitude, you know, even though I'm hurt. But it's okay. Okay. I have notes and there's a reason. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So I don't know what's going to come this year for you. But I do know this. God says, I want to help you in your mind to take control over how you respond. And we choose our thoughts, and our thoughts direct our path. Our thoughts direct our future. Let me just give you an example of something that I have chosen to do. In the next 2 months, my role is going to change. I'm no longer the senior pastor in 2 months. And I had to decide, how is that going to look? And so before anybody had an opinion about that, I decided I'm going to write a covenant to the elders, and I'm going to choose my attitude. It's just going to take me a minute to read this to you. As we approach my retirement date of March 3rd, 2024, it's important for me to establish where I see my role. I will continue on staff in a coaching role and be able to help as the pastors need me. Once a month, I'll meet with the pastor as a sounding board and encouragement. I'll preach on Sundays or help in other teachings when I'm invited. I'm willing to usher, greet, safety team, or whatever the pastor would like me to do. That being said, I want to put this into perspective. I'm fully aware that the New Testament is clear about the duty of the appointed leader. They are the ones who will lead. In Hebrews, it says, obey your leaders. Paul writes this to the church of Thessalonica. Respect those who labor among you and those who are over you. And he says this to young Timothy, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. And then I wrote this to the elders. We understand the biblical principle of the appointed leader is to lead. We also know that the appointed leader can be quickly compromised by well-meaning people who default to treating the past leader as the true leader. Because I have led Hope Church for over 15 years as a senior pastor, I want to guard against any possibility that will influence, weaken, or compromise our new leader. The best way to keep clarity in these roles is that I will not engage in any vital Hope Church ministry without invitation or permission. I am loving to continue being here at Hope Church. I'm also glad to establish clear ministry lines of leaders and our roles. I'm so eager to see God bless all of Hope Church in the decades to come. And I chose my attitude. Then it was super cool. All the elders signed this and I signed it with them. And I want you to think ahead and say, I'm going to choose my attitude. And this is all you can control this year. Is that crazy? You know what I love about this? If we really, really want to have a good 2024, it's simple. Check our mind first. You're only going to control 10%. Of what happens this year. The 90% you have to choose to control your thoughts, control your mouth. Some of you are going, yeah, the person next to me needs that. I think you need that, if that's what you're thinking. It's probably your turn now. Okay.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Let me look at my notes. Okay. Jim, stop. Kevin, yes. Okay.
Well, it's a... It is a great honor and a privilege to even to be able to sit here next to you in this role, Pastor Jim. And I'm excited, you know, that 8 years ago you took a chance on me after I had been fired from a church and had nothing left. Can you not hear me? Are you sure? I thought I turned it on, guys. Let's check it out.
I just wanted to be a part of this.
Yeah. It's just me trying to. All right. I don't have any power, so.
Can I have your pack? And I'll come
you
back.
Must have died.
Way to be the most important guy in the room.
Start. I'll talk loud. Right.
Here. No, let me give you.
We're going to need a battery.
Here, let me undress like.
Hey, we're good. I did a mic check.
Here you go.
I did the responsible thing. I did a mic check before the service. Very responsible thing to do. But apparently, I still failed at it.
I mean, I'm not going to fire you. I quit.
I think Zach's coming back momentarily. Anyways, as I was saying, there he is. There he is. All right, let's try this again.
And if that messes up, I have a backup.
Do you want me to tell a joke while you're getting that thing working?
All right, we got it. Do we got it now? Can you hear me? All right. Well, hey, listen. I am excited about 2024. And, you know, this is a huge responsibility. But I actually have three secret weapons. And that's why I am so excited. The first one is Pastor Jim. He is one of my secret weapons because he's going to be behind the scenes as a sounding board here to help. I'm so thankful for that. My second secret weapon is, her name is Amanda St. Clair. And she's not even in here because she's like handling the church right now.
And that's why he got hired. And Sharon's why I got hired. We all know it.
So, and you guys, you know, I love her. And she is a devoted servant. And if I didn't have her, I wouldn't be here.
It's true.
I guarantee it. And then I have a third secret weapon, and you just saw him. That's right, Zach Gares. And I am thrilled to work with these guys, and I love these guys. And so, that being said, let me talk about the B, okay? A, B, C. The B is this. This is hugely important, okay? And this is a deep passion of mine, but B stands for Bible, okay? To be in your Bible. Next year, nothing affects my attitude more than being in the Bible. And I can tell you this is true because I've been in the Bible multiple days, mostly mornings, over the last few years. And my attitude is vastly different after I have read God's Word. There are things that come along in the day that you feel like you handle well. And then there's things that come along you feel like you're really bombed on. And most of the time, I can tell you, it's correlated with whether or not I spent time in the Bible that morning as to whether I was ready for that. And so being in the Bible, this is going to be a crucial next step. All right, it seems simple, right? It seems simple, but let me tell you something. When people come to us and they want prayer and they ask, you know, for help or just to pour out their hearts, here's a question I have learned to ask. And it's this. Okay, I've heard you. I love you. Let me ask you a question. Have you been in the Bible? Many times the answer is no. The answer is no, right? I want to do something great with my life. I want to do something else. I've achieved this, but I want more, or I'm going through this. Have you been in the Bible? And the answer is no, I haven't. Now, that's not true of everybody, but you know, okay? This is so crucial. If you're not in the Bible in 2024, you're missing out on the number one way to connect with God and to know God. I'm telling you what it is. That's the answer. The number one way is to be in the Word. It's also the number one way to begin the healing process.
It's true.
In your life. You know, I remember at a recent conference we were at, there was a man who spoke, and he spoke about the trauma of life and that everyone deals with a certain amount of trauma. And it's true. No matter who you are, you have dealt with trauma in your life to some extent. And the number one way to begin healing from that, being in the Word. Let me say four words here. Okay, here they are. Tabernacle. You guys know what the tabernacle is? That's the tent of meeting, right? Temple. Solomon's temple that he built. Okay. Christ, our Savior, and heaven. Okay? What do these four things have in common? Well, they probably have a lot in common. But here's what they all involve: God coming here. God coming to us. Not us going to God. God coming to us. So when Moses built the tabernacle, the presence of God came from heaven to a tent. That's crazy. And then Solomon built the temple, and the presence of God filled the temple. God came again. And what did we just celebrate? We're still celebrating, apparently, at the end of the year here.
Merry Christmas,
Kevin. That's right. Merry Christmas. I love it. Emmanuel, God with us. So God came in the form of a man. And if you read ahead in the Bible, you got heaven. What does heaven do? Heaven comes down. The new Jerusalem comes. So all these things have that in common. God coming to us. And so what does that tell us? He wants to be with us. He has tried very, very hard to be with all of us. So that means he wants to be with you. So we need to start being with him. And that starts by reading the Bible. It really does. I realize this can seem like a daunting task. It can seem like a huge step if you don't have this habit developed. But I want to help you get there. And here's what I want to do. I want to give you the teaching, the tools, and the training. I want to give you the teaching, the tools, okay? So not just teaching, but something to actually give you and put in your hand, and training to be in your Bible. And I have a strong sense of this, and I'm excited about it. So what we're going to start in 2024 is Bible studies, okay, where we learn to read the Bible effectively in our own lives. This is going to start on Wednesday nights again, okay? Coming up when we start up again Wednesday nights, we're going to do it right out here. And I want to give you the teaching, the training, and the tools to read the Bible effectively in your life. I'm very excited about that. There's a picture I'm going to put up. This is kind of a newfound love that my wife and I have done. Look at this. Anybody recognize that? Anybody know what that's called?
Stairway to Heaven. You walk that, you're gone.
Has a name. That Rise. Someone's been there. It's called The Rise, and it is a psycho staircase. That's all it is. It's just a psycho staircase. But you know what you do is you just go, and you go up the staircase, and you go down the staircase, and that's what you do. That's all you do. And it is amazing how effective this staircase is in your life. And I want to encourage you guys to do this. This is off the Kohler Trail. Just walk out there. You get your little coffee there at the airship thing out at the coffee shop. Go up and down the Rise. It's incredible. And you're just walking and your legs are like, ah! You know, they're killing you. But when you do what you're designed to do, it actually works. It works. I'm telling you, it's better than going to the gym. Go try this staircase. Oh, you don't knock it until you try it. The first time I did this, my legs hurt for 3 days. It tells you how out of shape I am.
Can I make one comment? Yeah. Y'all look skinny. I love you. And round is a shape.
Yeah. But here's the whole point. This is what it takes to
grow.
To grow and to be in your Bible. How do we take the next step in the Bible and learn it and let it be effective in our lives? It's just, it's one step at a time, and we got to take that step. And so I want to encourage you to take that step. Now, maybe you're in a small group already. I love that. You stay in your small group. Maybe you're in the men's or women's life journal group. I love that. You stay in that. Okay. But some of us have not been able to make it to those and you want another option. I want you to come. Okay. Wednesday night, that's going to be another option to be in the Word, all right?
And it's for, for everybody. You don't need to be a scholar. That's what's great about Hope. You come as you are. No one's going to put you on the spot and make you feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
But the reality is you can have a good attitude, and if you have a best attitude but you're not in the Word, it doesn't work.
That's right. Let me tell you one scripture, okay? Jesus was out in the wilderness. He was being tempted. And Satan came to tempt him, right? And he said, hey, why don't you, he was real hungry. Why don't you tell these stones to turn into bread for yourself? What does Jesus answer Satan with? That's right. He answers with the word of God. Exactly. Here it is, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Effectively telling us that the Word of God needs to be our number one desire and our number one source. And that's what I want for us next year. And I want to see what God does through all that. Who is this class for on Wednesdays? here's a few people it's for. It's for those of us who want to take the first step in Bible reading. So if you're that person, this class is for you. It's for those of us who want to take the next step in Bible reading. Okay? If it's become a little stagnant, I want you there. Let me help you. Let me help you get there. It's also for those of us who can't attend another group. Like, you can't make it to a small group, can't make it to the men's group. Come to this one. Come to this one. Okay? It's also for another group of people. Those of us who need an infusion of spiritual passion. You know what happens over time. You've been in church a while, and the passion gets a little stagnant. And you just need that. You need that spark again. So this is for you, okay? This is for you. So I'm just excited. Let's move on to C. C is stands for connected. We want to be connected in 2024. It's not about us having it all together, but together we have it all, right? And so connecting really matters. And we're excited about this next year. Connecting not only with one another, but also connecting with other churches within our covering. Now, you've heard of Open Bible Churches because that's what we're covering. That's the umbrella, right? That's part of this church. And if you've been in the Purpose class, I've told you about Open Bible Churches. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, other churches around the nation. This last summer, the staff all traveled to Dallas, and we had a vote where we voted in a new president. The new president of Open Bible Churches, his name is Michael Nortune, happens to be a good friend of ours. And we love Michael, and he sent out a message for the whole denomination, and we just have a clip to show you and a way for us to join together. Okay, can we play that clip real quick?
Hello, pastors, leaders, friends, Open Bible. Hey, just want to take a moment here just to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a blessed new year. We want you to know that we are praying for you, and we're believing God that this season, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, that it'll be a fruitful time in your life, in your ministry, and in your family. One of the first things that I wanted to do as president is to call Open Bible to a time of prayer, fasting, and devotion. And so you're going to hear more about this, but I just want to let you know that in January, the 14th through the 20th, for 7 days, that we're going to have a focus time. And we're just inviting you, challenging you, encouraging you just to join us. Maybe your church already does a 21-day prayer, fasting, devotion. Awesome. Do that. But would you include us? I would love to unite Open Bible in believing for an awakening, for a revival, for an outpouring. And so you're gonna hear more about that, but I believe it's just the right time. It's the right time for God to do something powerful in your church, in your heart, in your family. And it's the right time for God to do something in Open Bible. Will you join us? We love you, we're praying for you, and we're believing God for great things in the season ahead. God bless you.
Amen, amen. I believe that. I believe it's the right time. It is the right time for God to do something in your family, in this church, right, and in the nation. And we're going to gladly join with other churches on that week, January 14th through 20th, and we're going to pray and fast together for that week, okay? And we'll get you more details on that. So I am so excited. I know Pastor Jim is big on connection, and Pastor Jim has a connect group. You want us to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's interesting. Do the pastors, are we in a connect group with that? I don't run a connect group. I attend one. Sharon and I do. And here's what it's meant for us. Even this week, someone in our connect group that had a family member pass away. And so our connect group, we get an email or a text that says, hey, can we pray for these people? What a blessing that is. And what's great about our connect group, I don't run it, we're part of it, and it not only helps me be accountable, it also helps me feel like I matter. And I think for all of us, it's one thing to be an independent Christian on your own, it's another thing to be accountable, because that's how we grow. And it's another thing to be connected, because it's true, you know, we don't always have it all together. But I've had, countless times where I just felt close to the edge in life, or just something's happened or it's hard, and somebody comes alongside who at that moment has the faith I don't have. And I love having that. And even with Open Bible, I don't want to be a lone ranger, and neither does Pastor Kevin. We want accountability. We want a covering. And some people say, I'm not into denominations. Well, here's what I'm into. I'm into, if one of us ever did bad things, you would have a place to go to hold us accountable. I'm into knowing that people are not dictating what we do, but they're over us to make sure that we are following the path of God. I'm not opposed to that. I respect that, and I love that. So when it comes to this year, you know, attitude matters. We want you, like we are, to be in the Bible, not for any other reason than it's going to help you have the best year you ever have, whatever comes your way. And then when you're connected to other people, well, you matter. And every one of us wants to matter. Did you want to share something before I read a scripture?
No, I think it's good. Good. Well said.
Can I tell my joke?
If you want to. Yeah.
All right. I mean, every once in a while, you just need that. Well, how did the hamburger introduce his wife? Meet Patty. Good deal. Yeah. And you're like, is that even biblical? No. No, but sometimes you need to laugh. With me or at me, I don't care. Laughter is good medicine, the Bible says. I'm going to read the scripture and try to get myself back on track. I love what Paul says here, and he says this from a prison cell. And, he's a rock star. He wrote most of the New Testament. But he doesn't consider himself that. He says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And neither do your pastors. We're not there. We're just like you every day saying, God, would you just help me live for you? Help me to... This is our job, but aside from our job, we want to be believers. We want to be followers of Jesus Christ, doing what we ask you to do, to seek, serve, and share. And that's coming up in the next few weeks. And Paul said the same thing. I'm like, Paul, you're a rock star. And he says, I haven't considered myself taking hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God had called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And as we look forward to this next year, I really believe that God wanted me to share this verse, because if you look forward, it also means that you kind of have to let go of what's behind you. And our life behind us either can be a guidepost, say, you know, I like where that is, or I don't want to go there, or it can be a hitching post where you are forever stuck. And there's been a time in my life where I was forever stuck until God helped me that was a light post, not a hitching post. And that's kind of my prayer for you this morning. I wrote this down. This is a good prayer to start the new year. That God would help us, just the simple ABCs, and that together we will grow in Him. And in a minute, we're going to, actually more than a minute, depends on how long I pray, but we're going to receive communion. And as I thought about communion this morning, I was just overwhelmed. I mean, the fact that Jesus really came, and He came and died for you and me. That, like, you don't have to be good enough for communion today. He came because you are going to make mistakes. You absolutely, the more you believe in Christ and follow Him, you're going to sin less, but you're never going to be sinless here on earth. And Christ knows that. And the beauty of communion today is that we can admit, God, I don't have it all together. forgive me of my sins, and cleanse me. And as we receive communion today, let's take it super serious. Matter of fact, the Bible says, you don't have to be a member of Hope Church, but you have to be a member of God's church to receive communion. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ and the gift that he gave for you. I'm going to pray that you can do that and you can receive communion. Now, I know that Jack's sitting back there with his leg up. And so you're all looking, you can't see him, he's outside the door. But he can't come and get the communion. So
we'll take care of him.
Somebody back there. Okay. Oh, thank you.
Here it is, out there.
All right, you're going to get good. And if you're like going, I don't know, I just can't get up, just raise your hand during communion. We would love to bring communion to you. Let me pray with you, and then we'll stand together. If you've never received communion at Hope Church, there's four stations, two in the back, two in the front, and we just encourage you to come and receive communion. Hey, Pastor Zach, are we singing a song when we're done? Okay, so I got to put, that's why Tim was careful that I didn't mix up his notes. All right, Tim, I'll put this back, okay?
That's right.
Yes, he's your father-in-law, and he's blessed you with a wife that's probably the reason you're staying here. Just saying, it's a theme amongst pastors. You put up with us and love our spouses. That's how it goes. All right, and if you think we're going to take ourselves too seriously, we're probably not. But we take the word of God seriously. And we take God seriously. But we laugh at ourselves.
That's true.
Quite a bit. And it is really true. I just want to tell you this. We love each other. There's no putting on here on Sunday like we like each other. And then on Tuesday we hate each other. We really like each other. Now, they might like me less than each other. Because I sometimes, I don't know, it'd be hard to work for me.
If you have,
I didn't ask for an opinion. Oh. Don't give me an attitude. No, go ahead.
Usually, if he's upset with me, I get shot with a Nerf gun. Yeah, in the office. So
really, what?
Yeah, you've shot me, or you send your grandkids in and then they'll shoot me.
Well, yeah. You said I'm a secret weapon. Oh, Zach's saying, you guys get pray. Yeah. Thank you for. Being the third part of us helping us. All right. Hey, I want you to know this. And Hope at Home, I love y'all. And I'm thrilled in the next 2 months to turn over the reins. But what I'm never going to turn over is the fact that I love you and that you mean so much to Sharon and me. And we are absolutely thrilled to sit in the back of the church, and I am thrilled with my new uniform. Shorts and flip-flops. And if you judge me, it's your own attitude that needs to be fixed. But I am thrilled to wear shorts and flip-flops, and you can still call me a pastor, you can call me whatever you want, I don't care. No, I do care about you. But just so you know, we just can't love you enough. You mean the world to us. And what an honor it has been to serve 15 years as part of the staff at Hope Church. And we're looking forward to the next 15 years. Aren't we, babe? Right, 15. Well, we'll be like close to 100. Oh my gosh, I'm praying. When you get old, you rattle on. Yeah. God, thank you. Wow, Jesus, you literally died for us. And this is a fun Sunday. Almost every year, we just kind of talk about life and stuff. And God, I pray if there's someone here who's never received the gift of Jesus coming and dying for us, that not only can we be assured we're going to heaven, that we can have a life of fulfillment here on earth when we follow you. God, I pray if there's someone who doesn't know that they're going to heaven, Lord, that they would receive you. And God, I also want to pray, maybe talking about attitude, we can't point the finger anymore. We just have to look directly in our own heart. And is our attitude pleasing to you? Have we battled the strongholds in our mind with your strength? And God, maybe if we're just real honest, you're not mad at us, but you know that reading the Word, the living Word, makes a difference in our life. I don't believe you're disappointed in us. You might be disappointed for us that we're missing blessings that come from you because we don't know the truth of Scripture. And God, maybe there's someone who's like, you know what? I don't know if I want to get connected. I've been hurt by the church before. God, don't let the enemy keep us from hanging out with other people. Don't let the enemy take away that we matter and we can make a difference in people's lives. And Jesus, as we kind of contemplate these things, thank you that I get to pray a prayer on this 31st of January for Hope Church. If you haven't received Jesus, this is kind of a holy private moment. And you say, Pastor Jim, would you pray for me that I might receive Christ? Would you look up at me? Say, I need to get right with Christ. Okay. There's several of you saying, I need to get right with Christ. What an honor for me to pray for you. And maybe one of those three, my attitude, God help me, or I need to be in the Bible, God help me, or I'm not connected, I'm just doing it on my own. And you want God's help. That's what this is about today. Not pointing out who's right and who's wrong. It's about saying, God, we need more of you in our lives. And would you mind if I pray for you as well? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Well, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would forgive us our sins, that you would not only prepare a place in eternity for us, but that you would help us to walk with you until we meet face to face. God, that you would forgive us and you would cleanse us and you would put us on a path that would make you pleased. And God, for those of us who we just know in our hearts, we need your help with our attitude. God, we need your help with the Scriptures. We need your help. We're lonely, but we don't want to connect, and we need that. Lord, would you open the avenues? It's just a simple way for us to do that and have it not be completely overwhelming. And Jesus, as we receive communion today, my prayer is that you would bring healing to our soul. You would bring healing to our bodies, to our emotions, and that God, you would forgive us of our sins, we pray. Amen. So Paul writes this. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And the beautiful thing about the Lord's death is that it produces life for you and me. And so as we receive communion today, here's what I do. I just say, Lord, I can't hide anything from you anyway. Would you touch my mind, touch my spiritual part of me? And then I always say, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? And we know what the book of 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of that unrighteousness. And that's how I receive communion every time that I receive communion. I'm just reminded, Lord, thank you, you died for me. I don't have to have it all together all the time. I want to, but when I don't, you're the one who died to give us that help and hope. So anything you want to say, Pastor Kevin? Okay, Pastor Zach, you good? Okay. Let's stand together, and they're going to come and lead one more song, and we'll receive communion as they do that.